recovery. Make it very easy. Our hearts are very burdened for the recovery of God's word in this hour, the recovery of the power of the gospel, the anointing, the authority, and the revelation of truth of what the gospel really is. And I think if we are honest with ourselves and our own lives and observe what we see in the church world today, we realize that although the Bible is being preached and taught, a lot is still hidden and needs to be recovered. When we talk about the life of the Word and the power of the Word, what we read about in the book of Acts, because, you know, when they went out from that upper room, they didn't go out with books and say, in telling people, here, just read this and everything will be fine, here, or packaging certain doctrine together. Even though we read about Peter's sermon, they had an anointing. The word was something living within them. And when people encountered that living word, they encountered the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection power, and their lives were changed. And I know as we read the book of Acts, something in our heart comes alive and we realize that we've settled for far too less. Simply giving mental assent to the truths in the Bible and learning to all our doctrines and how to package it and how to think about it and how to present it to other people. A lot of what we call evangelism in this day is nothing more than indoctrination, talking people into what we believe. I'm sure we're talking them into good beliefs, nothing wrong with that, but that's not what the gospel is all about. The gospel is about revealing the resurrected Lord to people's lives. Using the same Bible, and the Bible is being taught today, but the question is, the right book is being used, but is the right message being given, and is the power there? So when we talk about recovery, we're believing to recover the true gospel of Jesus Christ and the power that's resident within that gospel. And what I want to touch on this morning is the power and the true gospel that we're believing for, the greater expression of it, the greater revelation that we're contending for, is going to be found and realized in the oneness of the body of Christ. It's not simply our wanting it, but we're going to find that as the oneness and the relationships that God wants created within his people become set the way the Holy Spirit wants, the Word of God is going to be more alive than we've ever known in the past. In John chapter 17, the prayer that Jesus made before going to the cross, and you don't have to turn there, you can read this later. Verse 17, he said, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. To sanctify means to make holy, to purify. And here we have some insight into the power of the word of God. The word is truth, and that's how we're sanctified. Is the word being preached today making people holy? And when I say making people holy, it's not this message of get your act right before God and improve your life. And it's not laying guilt on people, trying to stimulate them into some self-improvement course. Too often the Bible is used that way, getting people all worked up and getting them to try harder. What this is talking about is the Word of God imparts the holiness. What is holiness? It's God's nature. That's something that flows from God. We're able to experience that in the Word. And the word we're believing for, as it is spoken, as it is experienced, becomes his holiness within us. Because God himself is being imparted through the living word that's coming forth. And down in verse 22, he says, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you did send me and did love me. Even as you did love them, even as you do love me. Okay, all that's being conveyed here is what? The power of the word to sanctify, how the word is truth, how we're to be one, and we're created in oneness just as Jesus and the Father are one, we're one in them. And out of this whole experience is a glory, the glory that the Father gave to the Son, he gives to us, that the world will know and believe. It's all wrapped together. The power of the Word is wrapped in with the oneness of the body. The glory of God is intertwined with the oneness and the relationships that God wants with his people and between his people. And what comes out of that is a testimony of power. The world believes not because they're talked into Christian doctrine. They believe because they see the Lord Jesus Christ being emanated through lives of his people. Recovering the power of the Word is going to be found more and more in the recovery of the relationships in the body of Christ as God wants. The recovery of God's love flowing where there's been division, where there's been criticism, where there's been judgments. There's going to be more and more a change. I feel it happening now. There's a turning in the hearts of God's people toward one another. And all the walls that's been created out of self-righteousness and religious pride, all these different churches, each one claiming to be better than the other church and right, you got to belong here if you're really in God's will. All of that deception melting away because God is love. And when he can restore the hearts of his people one to another and there can be oneness in the body of Christ, I believe that's an atmosphere for the Word of God become more powerful and more living. And I think we're going to see greater things than even we read about in the book of Acts. And I don't want to, what can that be? I don't know. It's just going to be a greater expression of the living Word of God revealing the Christ to people. So I don't think we need to be frustrated, certainly not negative about what we see. As we're believing for this word to come forth, let's realize that so much of it is wrapped up and a part of our relationships. And let's be aware of how we relate to one another. I can think of people that I've walked with many, many years ago that I'm not in fellowship right now as far as physically being with them. Yet I feel my heart is just as one with them as the day when I felt that bond created in the Spirit. I realized John 17, the power of oneness. What God has created in relationships is eternal. And I find my heart just opening up and becoming more aware of that and realizing the importance of love in the body of Christ. And not allowing anything to divide us from our brothers and our sisters. There's no justification for that. You may say, well, I've been wounded, I've been hurt. Maybe you can't physically be with people. I'm not saying we should go back to all the churches we've been to and say, well, I've got to be there and be physically with people I was with 20, 30, or 40, 50 years ago. It's a matter of how we think about people, isn't it? Do we think in terms of judgment? Do we think in terms, I was hurt, therefore I'm justified in not accepting a certain person for what they've done for me, to me? What is the price we pay for that pride that causes us to separate from our brother and sister? And the religious nature can be so self-righteous. Well, they're in error. They're deceived. They've hurt me. Yet what Jesus cried out in John 17 was, the name of the game, Father, what it's all about is oneness. And that's the true expression of God's love. There is no separation. There is no division. Turn with me to Book of Romans chapter 1. I want to go one more scripture on just what this gospel is all about. Paul is speaking, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Here's the gospel. The gospel is not simply ideas about God, it is the power of who God is. In it is the righteousness of God that's revealed. This is the word that God wants to explode in the earth today. It's not just doctrines and the knowledge we have of the scripture. That's a good thing. But it's for the very word to convey God himself and his righteousness. And a key to that is in the simple way that we relate to one another. And I think for many believers, they see it as separate things. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to love my brother and sister, and that's important, but I got to have the word of God. We need to realize how it's all intertwined as one. When Jesus Christ is Lord over his people, and our thinking is changed toward one another, and there is a humility and the acceptance and the love and not the judgments and not the pointing of the finger, this true gospel of the power of God can have free access to flow and be the witness and the transforming power in this world that God intends. I want us to go to the Old Testament for what I consider to be a prophetic picture of the hour we're living in. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. It's about King Josiah. He was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem. In the 8th year of his reign, verse 3, and it'd be better to read this later because it'd be kind of cumbersome to go over all the scriptures, but I'll just kind of tell what the story here. In his 8th year of his reign, he began seeking the Lord. Just seeking the Lord. And after that, it says he was just moved in his heart to tear down the idolatry, removing all the idols that were in the land at that time. And then you go down to verse 8, in the 18th year of his reign, after he'd torn down the idols, he was burdened to repair the house of God, the temple. And so they go into a process of repair, of recovery, rebuilding the temple of God. And in that process, in verse 14, when they were bringing out the money which had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. They found a book of the law that had been lost. And when this book was read, it's like the king just humbled his heart, tore his clothes, and started crying out to God, repenting. It moved a nation. People's hearts were turned back toward the Lord again. It said all the years of King Josiah's life, he was blessed. He did not turn from following the Lord. And following this time, after finding this lost book of the law, they celebrated a Passover. And the scripture says that they had not had a Passover like that since the days of Samuel. Now you get a picture of what is happening here. A young king begins to seek the Lord. And out of that seeking the Lord, he becomes burdened, realizing, what's all these idols doing around here? Only God is to be worshipped. And his heart is moved. This is over a course of years now. And he gets the burden to rebuild the temple. And in the process of repairing the temple, they find something that was lost. Now, in that time, that book of the law is what they needed. It's what turned their heart back to God. But I think this is prophetic for this time. God is moving among his people, and the first priority is our hearts are being turned to seek him. In this age, it can be a difficult thing. We talk about the world we live in and all the responsibilities we have, and so much of this age is there to distract you. Take up your time, your attention. You go into the religious world, it can be just as bad. You get into churches and they keep you so busy. Seeking God, you don't have time for it because you're involved with this group and this program and doing this, that, and the other, and the church is growing. We got to add new buildings, a new sanctuary, and programs here and there. It can be so focused on works and working for God that we forget the most important thing is our heart being free to seek him and find him. Recovery starts with a heart to seek God. And if we're in that mode of seeking the Lord, positioning ourselves that way, what you find is a lot of the idols in your life begin to come up to the surface. The idols in your land, just like Josiah cleaned out the idols in the land that where he lived, the idols in our heart, in our mind, the things that try to control us, or we give control to. We don't need to go into detail with that. I think if you're seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit makes you very aware of the idolatry in your life. It can be things in the world. It can be money. It can be power. It can be position, security. In the religious side, it can be people make idols out of churches, out of other people, out of leaders. So many different ways that we can turn over the reins of our life. And yet, when we seek the Lord, we realize there is only one Lord and Master over us. That's Jesus Christ. And there's that process of purifying. They come up to the light, and we're able to give them to God. And then comes the burden. And this is what we want to target this morning. Josiah gets the burden for the temple. Well, what does that mean in this hour? There's not a physical building we need to rebuild, is there? What needs to be rebuilt in this hour? Who is the temple of God? Rather than saying, what is the temple of God? Who is the temple of God? We are, according to the scriptures. So the burden that comes out is a burden for the people of God and the building of the body of Christ. The building or rebuilding of relationships in the body. Where there's been division, where there's been hurt, where there's been separation, where there's been criticism, where there's been judgment. There's a recovery, there's a healing that takes place. Can it be like it happened here? I don't know if you see this as prophetic. I'm presenting it to you this morning as this is what I've heard in the Spirit. That as we are concerned about building God's house, his body, his people, we will discover something of the word that was lost. Not a book of the law, because we're a new covenant now. We're going to discover the word that needs to come forth in this hour. The word of revelation of who Jesus Christ is and who the Father is. We're going to discover something that has been buried. And you can look back in the book of Acts and say, where is that power word? Where is that transforming word that imparts the holiness of God, that turns the world upside down? It didn't go anywhere. It's just been buried. And as the building takes place and the recovery takes place and relationships are healed and God is able to knit us together in the oneness that can only come from His Spirit, that word that's been buried becomes discovered or realized. We realize the power of the gospel and the truth of the gospel. And as that word comes out, remember what this word did to a nation? It turned a nation around. It's going to do the same thing. As this word comes forth, the power of revelation that comes out of it, the truth of what the gospel really is, the message of grace and how we've been set free and we've been redeemed, the cloud of self-condemnation and guilt and that poison that comes through legalism that so many people are inflicted with, and they go to church week after week and they just get more and more poison. Walking away not believing that God loves them, believing they have to do something to earn God's love. Well, as the truth of the gospel is recovered and brought forth, there'll be such a liberation throughout the body of Christ and throughout the world. Just like this law that was missing, the people needed to hear it and their hearts were changed. What do the people in this world need now? What do we need? We don't need just more doctrine. We don't need just have the doctrine repackaged a different way. We don't need more church buildings. We don't need more denominations. We need the true gospel to come forth in power and transform as God intended. As Jesus said about his ministry, I'm here to do what? To set the oppressed free, to heal the blind so they can see. That's the gospel that needs to be unearthed and recovered. To release the oppression and let people know what Jesus Christ won for them on the cross. How much God loves them with an unconditional love. The power of the gospel. And again, there's such a key to this. In the simple ways that we relate to one another. Don't minimize the simple acts of kindness and the moving of the Holy Spirit in your heart that's softening you and opening up deeper love in your heart for the brothers and sisters of the body of Christ, for the people in your life. Don't see it as something separate from the power of God and the authority of His Word, because it's not. And as you allow the Holy Spirit to heal relationships that you're in, and you allow the Lord to remove the pride that causes us to judge and criticize, what you're going to recover is the power of the gospel in your life. It's something that you can share with others. One other scripture in Isaiah 58, and we're all familiar with this, what the fast that God is looking for. And this too is talking about our ministry to one another. In verse 6, Isaiah 58, he says, "Is this not the fast which I choose?" This is what God's speaking. "To loosen the bonds of wickedness," loosen, "to undo the bands of the yoke, let the oppressed go free. Divide your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, to cover him." And we don't have time to go into what this means in practical terms, but I think you understand that, don't you? The people in your life that are oppressed, instead of judging their oppression, because a lot of times other people's oppression bothers us, doesn't it? What's going on in their life is kind of like it irritates us, it hurts us. So it's so easy to criticize that. And that's human nature. Someone is hurting and they're wounded, and we say, "Well, their wounds are bothering me." So we add to their injury by pouncing on them with our words, criticizing them. They don't need to be judged and criticized. They need to be set free. And this is what God is doing, working in our hearts to where we relate to the frailties of human nature, the flaws of being human, in a different way. As long as we're critical and we judge one another according to our faults, we're not going to experience oneness, because that's not the way God relates to us. When we can look at human nature and the people in our life and our own faults and their faults and realize, "Well, Lord, these faults aren't going away. And all my criticism and all my sound words of good advice and all my preaching and all my telling this person what they need to do don't seem to work." When's it going to get through to us that there's another way? God's not trying to take the flaws away. He's trying to change how we think about the flaws. God has created human nature the way it is, so that we have to humble ourselves and experience His love in relating to one another. That's where the transforming power is. It's not in human nature. All of a sudden we're flawless and we have no problems anymore and we're perfect. We need perfect love. God changes us in how we think about human imperfections. And when He's able to do that and we start undoing the bonds of oppression, we start releasing one another. It says down here, "Removing the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness." That's verse 9. What happens? Verse 8, "Then your light will break out like the dawn." What's that talking about? What's the light? The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ we have resident within us. The light, the revelation of what that gospel is. How does it come forth? Breaks out. How does a dawn come up? It's spectacular, isn't it? It's dark, and all of a sudden, the sky slowly but surely lights up. That's how the flow of God's word will be in this hour. From His people, from the oneness of the body of Christ, from the oneness of relationships, that light of the gospel will break out like the dawn. A revelation that will slowly but surely grow and eliminate all darkness. "Your recovery will speedily speed forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." Righteousness. That's what people will see. That's why they're going to believe and turn to the Lord. They'll encounter the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The glory of God will be manifest. And it talks about our recovery too, doesn't it? Our healing. See, when we can be burdened for the recovery of the body of Christ and the relationships and the oneness, then we recover. I don't believe we were created to recover simply by belly aching and crying out to God and saying, "I don't want to be this way, make me different, make me different." God hears our frustration. His heart is touched with our infirmities. He knows how we grieve over our human nature and the problems it causes us. But God in his wisdom says, as my love becomes more real to you and you undo the bonds of oppression of your brother and your sister and you let the love flow through you, my word is recovered within you and comes forth in power, and you recover. You recover. Too often I think we're so focused on ourselves, even though what we're looking at may be very accurate and it needs to change, it's just a wrong focus. It's too easy to become self-absorbed. Let's look at the relationships that God is creating with his people. Let's have God's burden that the oneness of that he's created with the Son be our experience on this earth. As our heart and our focus is given over to that, his word is set free within us. And you find, as I'm burdened for others' recovery, I'm recovering. It's all wrapped up together. Amen. Let's stand. I know we're all burdened for the kingdom of God coming forth in this earth that we live. The gospel of Jesus Christ not only being spoken to the ends of the earth, but creating disciples, as the commission the Lord gave his own disciples, make disciples of all the nations. We're believing for his word to come forth with such great power to heal and deliver and reveal. Lord, this day as we're contending for that, we turn and we look to our left and our right, and we see the answer. We say yes, and we humble our heart and submit to the working of your Holy Spirit in creating the relationships that you want created, the oneness with the people in our life. Change our thinking. Change our thinking. Where we, our own thoughts have created separation and division. Renew our minds by your Holy Spirit, that we can see the importance of your love flowing through us and being one with everyone that you've touched. We believe in your oneness, Lord, and we want what you've shared with the Father. You did give it to us. But our cry this morning is that be our life experience. Heavenly Father, rebuild your temple. Rebuild the body of Christ, your people. Heal our relationships. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless one another. Thank you.